time has come for our voices to be heard, for our borders to be secured, and our immigration laws enforced. Welcome to the Ruthie Report. Thank you for tuning in. Let's start the show in the correct fashion. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Again, welcome to the Ruthie Report. Thank you, one and all, for tuning in. Today is May 30th, 2013. Tonight's special guest is going to be Charles of the Texas Border Volunteers. So what we're going to have is at 8 o'clock lead stories, at 8:30, and I have some mind-blowing, criminally and or insane for you. And then at 9 o'clock, our guest, Charles, will join the show. If you want to know what is really happening on the border, if you want to know the real numbers of those that are crossing into this country illegally, and you want to hear the truth, not DHS Pitbull Napolitano's version, join Charles and I tonight and you will find out. On a personal note, I would just like to say thank you to the Texas Border Volunteers for all they do, really, and I mean that with all sincerity. Okay, I have a few events that are coming up. First of all, Jameel Shaw is having a golf tournament, and I do believe it's June 22nd. You would like to check that out. Remember 1986, Say No to Amnesty is having a rally camping trip on Thursday, June 6th through June 9th. In Arizona. I'll let them tell you where and everything. For more information on that, look up www.secureborderintel.org. And then there is a new march that's going to be taking place. It's called DC March for Jobs. The website is dcmarchforjobs.com. It says, we believe it is time that members of Congress act to preserve economic opportunity for American workers and pass immigration legislation that protects and supports the nearly 22 million American citizens who do not have jobs or cannot find adequate employment to support their families. Economics reports that labor participation in the United States is at its lowest rate in over 30 years. And it goes on and on and on. So I suggest that you look this up. Again, it's dcmarchforjobs.com. It will be in D.C. All of the information is at the website. And although it would and does include all Americans of all race, colors, and creeds, this march is kind of geared at to bring awareness and activism from the Black community. So please do look that up. Those are the three I have for you. Let's get to lead stories. There is a poll currently. It started today. Jump in on it because you know they don't last long. The poll is, should undocumented immigrants be eligible for state driver's licenses? This is by Deb West out of the blog ctnews.com, Connecticut. Says a bill that allows undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's license has just passed the state Senate and is waiting the governor's signature. Should undocumented immigrants be eligible for state driver's license? Yes, no, or you don't know. I voted in the poll this afternoon. 82% said no. 17% said yes, and 1% doesn't know what to do. Anyway, please do go to it's blog ctnews.com and weigh in. Next, this is from Numbers USA, and this is another rally cry. It says, U.S. Senate set to vote week of June 10th. The S-77 bill that would give lifetime permits to 33 million more foreign citizens to compete with Americans for scarce U.S. jobs. Numbers USA does have a 30-second video out if you want to go to numbersusa.com and look at this. And it raises a deep moral questions about what kind of national community we are going to be. The issue is pretty clear. is pretty much as clear as you want to see in this 30-second video. We will abandon 20 million of our fellow Americans who need a job by allowing lobbyists for wealthy special interests to persuade the Senate to pass the immigration bill. We can beat this, but we can beat it only if we have enough of our phone calls to our senators and get counted as opposing the special interests, say Senate staffers who are also oppose the bill. Now, the number, there is a toll-free number that Numbers USA is giving out, 888-978-3094. Again, 888-978-3094. It says, call toll-free and ask for one of your senators. Just ask the operator to call them and then weigh in. And, it, you know, for those of you, you know, my take on this, for those of you that have never made the call, it is really very simple. The first call is, seems kind of scary or hard, but they are just average Americans like you and I. We put them there. They should be hearing from us. The problem is that without the calls coming in, they think that we are in favor of this, that we've given up, that we don't care. You've got to make the calls. The number again, 888-978-3094. Please make those calls. Now, moving on. This is from Breitbart.com. Unbelievable. I told you this was going to happen. It's so ridiculous, all of this, really. The Senate Judiciary Committee has increased the already sizable length of the Gang of Eight immigration reform bill to more than 1,000 pages during the markup process, Breitbart News has learned. Some estimates from media outlets, including the Washington Post, placed the bill length at the time at longer than 1,500 pages. Rubio, who made all kinds of promises while the Gangsters of Eight were making this debacle, said that the Daily Caller was pushing myths over fact for saying that the bill would be more than 1,000 pages. The Post, the Miami Herald, and the Washington Examiner's Brian York also received criticism from Rubio for their articles reporting the estimate of the bill's length. Rubio even attacked Senate colleagues, criticizing Senator Jeff Sessions for saying it was a 1,000-page bill, and Rand Paul for suggesting the estimate could place the bill's length as high as 1,600 pages long. The first version that I copied off and I have here on my desk, the first version was 844 pages. The updated version filed just before the bill went to committee markup was 867. The new bill towers over previous versions in length, clocking in at 1,076 pages. Unbelievable. You know, first of all, there should be no bill. No bill for amnesty. There should, however, be a bill. There should be one, but it should be demanding enforcement. What could possibly be in this bill that you and I and those that crafted it have no clue that needs 1,076 pages to convey? This must be defeated. Kill the bill. That's all. If you don't know what to say to your senators when you call in, tell them, kill the amnesty bill. 1,076 pages is an insult to our intelligence in this country. Unbelievable. Moving on, feds enlist race obsessed La Raza to help hire government workers. I kid you not. The federal government's Office of Personnel Management, OPM, has partnered, and this is by a Warner Todd Hudson. I want to give my, you know, credit where credit is due. Warner Todd Hudson says the OPM has partnered with La Raza, a group widely believed to be racist, to encourage more Hispanics to apply for higher positions within the government. La Raza, whose name translates to the race, We'll sponsor a workshop to help members fill the jobs in a senior executive services. These are special management positions with salaries often exceeding $200,000 in cash and benefits annually. A public notice from OPM makes the partnership official. The National Council of La Raza, the race, is hosting a series of leadership development workshops geared towards federal employees on July 23rd of this year in New Orleans. These workshops are part of the 2013 NCLR Annual Conference from July 20th to the 23rd. The workshop topics on July 23rd will include an overview of the Senior Executive Service and instructions on how to prepare and apply for the positions. The five-hour dedicated to leadership development workshops on July 23rd qualify as training in compliance with 5 U.S.C. Chapter 41 and are open to all federal employees. So, this gentleman says, so not only are our tax dollars going to a racial group to hold the seminar, tax dollars are also going to participants to pay for their attendance, paid as training. You know, why is La Raza partnering with OPM? I wonder if some supremacy group out there was given the same opportunity. Does that sound like a wise acre comment to make? Well, why not? Why is it that the race is given this opportunity and not someone with opposing views? Why are we allowing this to transpire in the first place? This is just utter nonsense. With millions of legal residents, Americans, of all colors, races, and creeds unemployed, why? Why is La Raza assisting our government in filling management positions? Every unemployed American should be applying and then sue for discrimination if they're not hired because some racist group selected employees by race. Is there no one in Washington awake? Really? You know, you and I try to stand up for the rule of law in this country, and we are called racist. But then they go and partner with a group that calls themselves the race for jobs while we have millions of Americans unemployed. It's such utter nonsense. Oh, God. Moving on. www.khou.com, dated May 7th. This is out of El Paso. Sequestration is having an impact on the day-to-day operations of the U.S. Border Patrol, according to agents who say they're coping with a fuel shortage. We're having the same number of agents, just fewer vehicles, said Rob Russell of the National Border Patrol Council. He said, quote unquote, this is one of the first times we've seen it this severe where we're going to have to start doubling up agents. We've never had to do this, he said, who has been a Border Patrol agent for 15 years. In another move to save gasoline, the Border Patrol is shuttling groups of agents, I kid you not, shuttling groups of agents to trucks in the field or areas closer to the border rather than having them drive their vehicles back and forth. U.S. Customs Border Protection officials will not comment specifically on how the budget cuts affect fuel for Border Patrol trucks. However, in an email statement, they said a plan had been submitted to Congress that, if approved, should eliminate the need to furlough. Angelica Cardona, who lives in the border community of Sunland Park, said she sees about 10 to 20 or more, even at night, referring to Border Patrol trucks parked overlooking the desert area near the U.S.-Mexico border. Agents are concerned about enforcement if there are fewer patrol vehicles visible right on the border. Smugglers will take advantage of that, Russell said. They're going to see fewer vehicles out there, and that is going to be pretty obvious to them. End quote. You know, wouldn't one think that our nation's security would trump spending by the government Wouldn't that be a priority? Wouldn't you think? Maybe what we should do is cut some spending and fuel allowances elsewhere. Like, let's see, a lot less airplane fuel being burnt off an Air Force One or some other plane by the first family. What do you say to that? I think that would trump, our security would trump yet another trip. How about cutting from the GOA parties? There are so many cuts across a wide range that should take place, not at the cost of our national security, really. But of course, that's just too much common sense, and that's not this administration's agenda now, is it? Unbelievable. Moving on. Oh, this will toast your muffins. DHS, Department of Homeland Security, cannot locate 266 illegal overstays that pose a national security risks. This is by Elizabeth Harrington, CNSnews.com, dated May 28th. The Department of Homeland Security cannot find 266 potentially dangerous foreign nationals who have overstayed their visas, according to the GAO office. According to testimony from Rebecca Gambler, Director at Homeland Security and Justice for the GAO, on May 21st, 2013, she testified before the House Subcommittee on Border and Maritime Security. She said DHS identified 1,901 illegal overstays of concern in 2011. As of March 2013, 14% remain missing. The 1,901 cases were reprioritized for further investigation by DHS because the subjects of the records could pose national security or public safety concerns. Of those that posed threats, those 266 could not be located. 9 individuals have been arrested. The findings are based on a DHS review of a backlog. Are you ready for this? You got to hear this. I'll slow down. The findings are based on a DHS review of a backlog of 1.6 million overstays in the summer of 2011. According to the report, 863,000 cases were removed, having found that the individuals left the country or were with legal status. The GAO testimony also revealed that there are currently more than 1 million unmatched arrival records in the DHS arrival and departure information system, or potential cases where immigrants have remained in the country with expired visas. Furthermore, DHS has failed to report to Congress on visa overstays as required by law due to a lack of confidence in the quality of its overstay data. Well, isn't that just wonderful? We have no confidence in our quality of overstay data, so we have 1 million of them unmatched. Secretary Janet Napolitano, however, said that her agency plans to report on overstay rates by December of 2013. How convenient isn't that? Why is Nappy Pitbull Napolitano still in the position as Secretary of Homeland Security? Are you kidding me? Are we supposed to believe that this is the best person that we could select for this nation? And another thought. Here's three things right in a row. With 1 million unmatched arrival records, with individuals potentially remaining with unexpired visas, with 266 that may pose a national security risk, and her failure to report overstays to Congress, which is the law, why would anyone in their right mind give her authority over a potentially, which must be defeated, and treasonous amnesty bill? Are you kidding me? Congress, do your job. remove Janet Napolitano from her position. Also, I would like to add, there should be absolutely no talk of the future of illegal aliens in this country, which we know what should happen, but there should be no discussion until our borders are secure and we know who is in this nation. This is just utter nonsense. Jeez. And they wonder why our dangerous, why the animosity continues to grow, why we are mad as hell and we don't want to take it anymore. And they can't figure this out. Let me buy them a vowel, for criminy's sakes. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Just enough to give you a headache. All right, moving on. Senator Robert Menendez said last Friday that the Gang of Eight immigration bill does not have enough votes to pass the Senate. He said it lacks the 60 votes necessary to clear it. He said that he was optimistic that the bipartisan coalition could cobble together the supermajority of the bill it would need to get through the Senate. He said the bill will need a strong showing in the Senate, quote unquote, so we can pressure the House to act. Speaker John Boehner has said that the Gang of Eight bill does not have the votes to make it out of his chamber. That is reported by The Hill. Now, of course, in the last 2 days, Harry Reid is making the media circuits saying that the bill will pass the Senate easily. You know, guess we just cannot believe anything that comes out of their mouth. We've got one saying they don't have enough votes to pass the Senate, much less go to the House. And then we have another one saying, oh, it's going to pass easily. Call them up and tell them no amnesty bill. How is about that? Moving on. And I'm going to just give you the website, and you can look it up or you know, whatever you would like to do. But I just wanted to kind of put a plug out here for Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama. Finally, someone is saying it, that it should be the best, what's best for this country, not votes and politics. He said, quote unquote, I don't think we should be worried about the political impact, but instead what is in the best interest of America, end quote, said Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama. He is talking about, will immigration reform get killed in the Republican-led U.S. House? He said, he went on to say, quote unquote, we can't afford to give amnesty to every person who wants to illegally cross our borders. We don't have enough money in our piggy bank. Amnesty begets more amnesty. I cannot, in good conscience, ratify illegal conduct with my vote. Any Republican who advocates ratifying illegal conduct with their vote is subverting the very principles that made the United States a great nation, end quote. Again, the title of this article, it was at Reuters, dated May 26th. The title is, Will Immigration Reform Get Killed in the Republican-Led U.S. House? Please, go ahead and look it up, and then send Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama a thank you. It's about time somebody stood up there and said the truth. All right, let's see here. Just a little bit on Rubio, because unless you've been living under a rock, you know most of this, but this one, just in case you haven't heard this. This flies directly in the face of everything he's standing on, in front of a camera, in front of the whatever, on Hannity, wherever you've seen him. This flies in the face of everything he looked into that camera and said. This is from the Daily Caller, and it's dated May 24th. It's by a Charles C. Johnson. Senator Marco Rubio blocked numerous immigration reform bills when he served as Speaker in the House, Florida House of Representatives from 2007 to 2009. Rubio blocked any efforts to deal with the problem of illegal immigration on a local or state level, one former politician from South Florida, who has known Rubio since his councilman days in West Miami, told the Daily Caller. He said, Rubio said, it's because we had bigger things to deal with on a state level. Maybe that is true, but he didn't even let bills to the floor when they sailed through committees, the politician who declined to speak on record added. But even though he declined to speak on record, records show that Rubio used his power in Florida to block popular immigration enforcement bills prior to his election trail conversion into an immigration hawk. Numerous enforcement proposals ranging from bills requiring employers to check the status of workers to others mandating increased cooperation between local law enforcement and federal immigration agencies were blocked by Rubio, even though they had cleared bipartisan committees. The bills in Florida's legislature would have penalized farmers and government contractors caught hiring undocumented workers. It would have placed stricter regulations on public benefits and required local police to notify federal authorities after arresting illegal immigrants. What we say here, illegal aliens, because they're not immigrants. It just goes to show that they're lying to us. They're lying to our faces. We just cannot continue to allow it to happen, people. That's just the bottom line. Okay, let's do this one real quick, because this has been all over the media today, and I want people to understand that they're putting out a 30-second blip on all these little news clips and everything else, hoping that the Americans will be dumb enough to swallow it, believe it, take it to heart, run with it, and it's just not true. What I'm talking about, this is from the Los Angeles Times. The title is Immigrants Help Medicare Stay Solvent. It says, out of Washington, immigrants in the United States, both legal and illegal, are helping sustain Medicare, contributing about $14 billion a year to the federal health program for the elderly than they use in medical services, a new study indicates. The report, published Wednesday in the journal Health Affairs, it can't have anything to do with Obamacare, I'm positive, as Congress debates immigration overhaul legislation. It does not calculate the full impact of immigrants in the country illegally on all government health care programs. Medicare, which covers about 50 million retired and disabled Americans, is funded partly through payroll taxes that employers and employees pay into a trust fund. This is how they did it. By looking at census data, researchers were able to estimate that people born abroad likely paid about $33 billion in payroll taxes to Medicare Trust Fund in 2009. The researchers then used Medicare data to estimate that immigrants, and of course we're still talking illegal aliens, they're not immigrants, were responsible for about $19 billion of the program's medical expenses that year. Let me read one comment to you before I share my thoughts. This is a comment at the end of the article. It says, I would like to see the proof or facts behind this. There are none. They are undocumented. Again, how you can get information about people who lie to stay in the country and don't have documents. If they did put money in, it's much less than what they take out. Also, there is no documentation on how much services they use here, which makes this article pointless and worthless. My thoughts exactly. First of all, these are estimates per the article. The article says it. Second, again, per the article, it does not calculate the full cost impact of illegal aliens and other health care programs. They guessed by using 2009 census. Third, if the illegal alien is paying in taxes at a job, which would mean the employer did not screen properly and hired someone for a job that an American should have, then golly gee, we could find out where and who they are through employee records, couldn't we? Apparently, they're not living in the shadows. This is speculation at best, without a clear way to prove any of it. Instead of pushing an amnesty agenda by a health group who no doubt is in favor of Obamacare, it is just nothing but useless, and in my opinion, bogus. I am hoping and cannot wait to read and share with each and every one of you the reports from the Heritage Foundation, FAERS, Numbers USA, etc., discrediting these findings. You wait. You wait. I will. I'll share them with you. All right. We are going to take our first break. When we come back, I have some really disturbing criminally insane tonight. We have a lot of it. We're going to fly right through it. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we will get to it. Please stay tuned. Report. Thank you for tuning in. Today is May 30th, 2013, and as you know, that signals tonight's criminally and or insane segment. This has been all over the media, so I'm sure you've heard about it, but for those who have decided not to watch the news anymore, this is dated May 28th, 2013. An Arizona mother of seven is being held in a Mexican prison after being accused of attempting to smuggle drugs while in the country for a family funeral. 42-year-old Yorana Maldonado, who has been a U.S. citizen for 17 years, was thrown in jail while traveling on a bus back to Phoenix from her aunt's funeral with her husband, Gary. MyFoxPhoenix.com reports. Larry Mandado tells the station that the couple believed it would be safest to travel to and from Mexico on a bus from a Phoenix-based bus company. However, on the trip back, the bus was stopped by Mexican authorities who ordered all of the passengers off the bus and searched it. The Mexican authorities then claimed that they found 12 pounds of marijuana under her seat and took her to jail. The family says that the drugs were not hers. Maldonado faces 10 years in prison if convicted on the drug smuggling charges. The office of Arizona Senator Jeff Flake tells MyFoxPhoenix.com that the senator is personally monitoring the situation and spoke with the deputy Mexican ambassador over the weekend. You know, we have been screaming, don't go to Mexico. But they just do not listen. And they continue to go. This situation is very fluid, so I suggest that you look it up, you know, go online, look it up, and then get involved if you choose. My personal thought is this is a shakedown. It's a shakedown clear. You know, they send all of their unwanted, all of you illegal aliens in this country from Mexico that love your Mexico. Well, your country must not love you because they're more than willing to send you back into the United States. So here Mexico can send us all their unwanted citizens, but then they can shake down Americans down there and think that they can get away with it. Enough already. Mexico, you have to learn that you are not going to get away with this stuff anymore. Enough. Quit going to Mexico, people. I don't know how clear that can be. Anyway, look it up for yourself. The situation continues to change momentarily. Moving on, I call this the lawlessness continues. 12 Chicagoans formed a human chain calling on President Barack Obama to suspend deportations. This is dated May 29th out of Chicago. It says, seated around a banner with the number 400,000, the amount of people scheduled to be deported this year under the White House quota, Chicagoans mounted a morning rush hour protest to call on Obama to suspend deportations as Congress seeks reforms. Quote unquote, plans and promises of immigration reform are not enough. While Congress is talking about passing immigration reform, I'm scared that my own parents will be one of the 1,100 who are deported every day, end quote, said an undocumented protester, Stephanie Kamba, who is 22 years of age. Quote unquote, the president can't be a bystander in reform when he could stop our suffering and stop the deportations with the stroke of a pen, end quote. Another protester, a recipient of the president's Deferred Action for Childhood, said, it doesn't make any sense to keep deporting people that could qualify for immigration reform. We want our families to still be here when a path to citizenship opens. Who do these people think they are? I'm serious. I'm asking. Deport everybody that's in this country illegally. And these people are not courageous, as one person suggests throughout this article. They are not courageous. They are continuing to break the law and yet more laws, making demands in a country where they do not belong. If you cannot come here legally, do not come at all. Why is it that these illegal aliens and their illegal alien lovers, because they're illegal aliens, not immigrants, do not go and make demands in their own country? Secure the border, no amnesty, attrition through enforcement. I, for one, have had enough of this flaunting it in our faces that they are here illegally. And I'm even more angered that they feel so comfortable making demands of gimme, gimme, gimme. The insanity. Where was ICE? ICE should start showing up at these little human chains, and anybody that's illegal should be deported. Then it would stop. Moving on, let's get to some of the short stories here. ValleyCentral.com, nearly 100 immigrants found in a San Juan stash house. This is by Action 4 News. In a joint effort, the San Juan Police Department and the Huasco Border Patrol discovered a major stash house in the Rio Grande Valley early Tuesday morning. Border Patrol Public Affairs Officer Henry Mendola said that the San Juan PD requested assistance for what they initially thought was a burglary in progress. It was later determined that the home on Coconut Palm Avenue was a stash house. Mendola says 99 people are in custody for being illegally present in the United States. They are currently conducting interviews to identify who the smugglers is. The scene was cleared about 6:30 a.m. and another four people were arrested during an area search. 100 people in a stash house. 100 people in a house, period. Oh, my God. Yeah, we have no problems, though, right, Janet? Moving on. This is by SeattlePI.com out of Los Angeles. Wonderful people in California, wake up. Here it is for you. A man wanted for 13 years on attempted murder charges in Los Angeles was captured in Colorado after somebody called the police to report that he was urinating on a wall outside of KFC restaurant. I kid you not. I couldn't make this stuff up. Manuel Sanchez, 59, initially gave the officers a false name when he was arrested on Wednesday, according to the Colorado Springs Police Department. After he was fingerprinted, police discovered his identity and that he has a $2 million warrant in California. Kentucky Fried Chicken called and said that he was peeing on the wall. On the run for 13 years, and then he gets caught for something this stupid, the officer said. Sanchez is accused of stabbing someone multiple times after an argument in 2000, then stabbing a second person before running away. Los Angeles Police Sergeant Alberto Gonzalez said the crime was classified as domestic violence, and that one victim was male and that one victim was a female. He declined to provide any more details. Prosecutors filed four felony charges against Sanchez in 2000, two counts of attempted murder, one count of aggravated mayhem, and one count of assault with a deadly weapon. Gonzalez said LAPD officers were working on extraditing Sanchez from Colorado. End of article. Now, his immigration status, in case you didn't hear me say that, because I didn't, his immigration status is either unknown by law enforcement, or willfully and conveniently not provided in this article by SeattlePI.com. Excuse me. Next, this is just today, reported today by Dave Gibson. Illegal alien dragged a woman behind a dumpster, tried to rape her in New Jersey. Dave's opening comment is Obama throws our immigration laws into the dumpster. According to a complaint, Hernandez, I don't have his full name here, I had it, but it's not on here, a gentleman named Hernandez dragged a woman a substantial distance and attacked her behind a dumpster on Saturday. Additional information on the incident was not available. Hernandez appeared in Central Judicial Processing Court in Jersey City via video link from Hudson County Jail in Kearney. According to court officials, Hernandez, who spoke through a Spanish interpreter, is an illegal alien from Mexico. He has been charged with aggravated sexual conduct, kidnapping, attempted sexual assault, and obstructing administration of law by flight. He is currently being held in the Hudson County Jail on an immigration detainer. Next. Now, before I get to these, I have three stories, sexual rape nature here, that I want to read to you. And then I have one that does not involve an illegal alien, but there is a point to why I'm reading it. So the first three first. By Dave Gibson, dated May 26th. Illegal alien charged with repeatedly raping a 12-year-old girl in Louisiana. On Thursday, Ronaldo Garcia, 23, was indicted by Jefferson Parish grand jury for raping a young girl over a nearly two-year period, beginning when the victim was only 12 years old. The Guatemalan national raped the girl on or about 20 separate occasions, according to the court documents. During the preliminary hearing in March, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Deputy Detective David Tanis testified that Garcia confessed to the encounters and that he was aware of the girl's age. The Times reported, during a preliminary examination in March, he testified that at times the girl said Garcia picked her up in the mornings at her bus stop and had sex with her in his car before he would drop her off at school. She knew him as Oliver Garcia, the name that he used on Facebook. The girl's mother was suspicious that something was happening, but was met with the daughter's denials, the detective said. The mother confirmed the alleged rapes after finding text messages on her phone. She then called police. The victim reportedly has contracted a sexually transmitted disease from Garcia. Garcia has been charged with aggravated rape and is currently being held in the Jefferson Parish Correctional Center. Next, illegal alien caught attempting to rape a 16-year-old in Florida. Dave Gibson, dated the 27th. Last week, Volusia County Sheriff's deputies arrested Eduardo Rodriguez, 18, after he reportedly broke into a home and tried to rape a 16-year-old girl as she slept. The Daytona Beach News Journal reported, Volusia County Sheriff's Office spokesperson Brandon Haught said Rodriguez went into the girl's Pearson home at about 1:20 a.m. The girl started screaming and her mother then chased after Rodriguez to no avail. The girl and the mother called 911 and the 16-year-old girl told deputies that she knows Rodriguez from school. The girl also told deputies that Rodriguez is infatuated with her, but she wants absolutely nothing to do with him. Rodriguez was found sometime later, and he told deputies that he thought, are you ready? He thought he was entering his own house, but then did admit that he went to the girl's residence because he wanted to have sex with her. Rodriguez has been charged with attempted sexual battery, child abuse, and burglary with battery. He is currently being held in the Volusia County Branch Jail on an immigration detainer. And an illegal alien, this is rather disturbing. This one is really kind of, if you have children in the room, please ask them to leave. Illegal alien charged with raping 13-year-old girl in a California park. Dated yesterday, the 29th, Dave Gibson. On May 20th, police at Novato arrested Salvador Arias, 18, after he reportedly raped a 13-year-old girl in a public park in March. The Marin Independent Journal has reported that Arias was arrested after a lengthy investigation by the police department. The incident occurred March 9th and was reported to authorities that day. The alleged incident involved numerous people who were drinking. Police identified Arias as one suspect and are still trying to determine whether other people present were also sexually violated the girl. Arias has been charged with rape with a foreign object, performing a lewd and lascivious act on a child, oral copulation by force, false imprisonment, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. He is currently being held in the Marin County Jail on an immigration detainer. These are just getting more vulgar, more disturbing, week after week. Oh, my God. So now, I started this with a story that I wanted to finish up with. I have several others, and if we have time, we will get to them. But this is important. we have to take a look at what this is actually, all of these crimes are actually doing to this nation, what it is doing to the citizens of this nation. This one, woman choked and raped by ex-boyfriend after dispatcher informs her there are no cops to help, and instead tells her to ask the attacker to leave. I am not making this up. This is dated May 22nd by the Daily Mail reporter. This is an American attacker. I want to make this very clear at the front here. But I do have a reason to share this with you. But first, here's the story. Michael Bahal was arrested in Oregon last August after he broke into his ex-girlfriend's house, choked and raped the woman, who was unable to get police to come and help her. The terrified woman from Josephine County, Oregon, dialed 911 to report that her violent ex-boyfriend is trying to break into her home. But in response, she was told that there are no officers on duty to help her. The cash-strapped sheriff's department in the county had been forced to lay off 23 of its 29 officers, deputies, after losing millions of dollars in federal, remember that, federal aid. The remaining six officers had their shifts slashed to 8 hours Monday through Friday. Well, heaven forbid, we better not have any, I better not break any laws on Saturday or Sunday, huh? Unfortunately, the woman faced with an out-of-control, jilted lover, her 911 call came on Saturday, of course. Eventually, the crazed man forced his way into the house, choked his former girlfriend, and raped her without no one there to stop him. The suspect was later arrested and pled guilty to kidnapping, assault, and sexual abuse. The details of her horrific deal last August emerged this Tuesday after voters in Josephine and Curry counties with the lowest property taxes, let's throw that in there as a, you know, twist of the knife, in the state turned down tax increases that would have increased the numbers of officers on the force. Josephine County Sheriff Gil Gilbertson said that due to lack of funding, residents of the county are not guaranteed protection in the case of an emergency simply because there are not enough deputies on hand to respond to every call. He said, quote unquote, he told the National Public Radio, there isn't a day go by that we do not have another victim, end quote. Why am I sharing this with you? What we have just heard is that this country is trillions of dollars in debt. This county lost federal aid. So now the county taxpayers must bend over and take it again or be left without proper law enforcement. Because apparently there are no other cuts anywhere to be found. Meanwhile, each week I share with you violent crimes, rapes, etc., at the hands of illegal aliens, actions that tie up more law enforcement. It ties the law enforcement further. Oregon, I ask you, what is the illegal immigration cost to your state? Do you think you could find some money there? Apparently, with enough of our own criminals, apparently, as I just read to you, it is just simply mind-blowing that this government wants to reward lawlessness, illegal immigration, by adding 30 to 40 million more people, making any real law enforcement in the future impossible. They cannot protect us now. They're telling us that they had to lay off 23 of their 29 deputies, but they want to bring in 30 to 40 million more people trespassers, rewarding lawlessness into this nation. We are hampering law enforcement while our taxes continue to increase, creating more victims, while Washington sits and panders, ignoring the costs, both in victims' lives, money. So they pander and ignore the cost and increase pushing lawlessness. And we are supposed to feel bad because this county has the lowest property tax? Are you serious? Get a grip, people. This woman was raped because she and called 911 and was told to ask her attacker to leave. I can hardly believe what I'm reading to you and sharing with you anymore. They had 29 deputies. They're down to 6, and they work Monday through Friday. And our representatives want to reward the lawlessness, the illegal aliens, the continued rape story after rape story that I share with you each week. And they can't understand why we say absolutely no amnesty, enforce our laws and secure the damn border, and they can't figure out what we're talking about? That makes me a racist? Ugh. It's insane. What's happening in this country is insane. We must stop the nonsense. Enforce our current laws. You don't have enough money to provide enforcement? Then cut all the costs of illegal aliens in this country. Get them out of our federal prison. Send them back and let their own damn countries deal with them. Child after child, victim after victim. And then they got to throw in there, well, gee, and they got the lowest property taxes. It's such an insult to humanity. It's an insult to every American in this country. That's the real war on women, people. We are going to take our second break. Real quick, there was one other one I wanted to get to. I'll just read the story and save my comments because I want to get to Charles. But this is from Bare Naked Islam. And I don't read much on this, but this is kind of important. Police are looking for as many as 6 to 7 Somali Muslim men after two joggers were attacked in Fridley, Minnesota. In broad daylight, within full view of a busy stretch of an East River road, a group of 7 young Somali Muslim men viciously punched two joggers for no apparent reason. Authorities said that the attacks were not robbery attempts and that the suspects randomly approached them and assaulted them. Without talking to them, the attackers said we had no idea what motivated them. Authorities said the suspects are described as Somali Muslim men, but did not have any more information. Now, barenakedislam.com said that they have a video that will share with you their points of view on this, but I find it just disturbing. The crime and attacks like this continue to rise in occurrence. We have no idea who they are, why they pick the people they do, and if they're here legally or illegally, and what their main objective is. Is it to kill Americans? And yet we have this administration and Congress working overtime, betraying the American citizenry, pandering to illegal aliens trying to grant and pass an amnesty to millions of people that you know nothing about. We, the people, deserve more. We have the right to know who is entering this country. We have the right to know who is in this country and what their intentions are. We have the right to demand that they enter legally, and if not, that our laws be enforced. And we have the right. We, the people, have the right to a secure border. We are going to take our second break. When we come back, we will be joined in. It's my honor to have. We will be joined by Charles with the Texas Border Volunteers. Please stay tuned. We will be right back. Volunteers. Are you there, Charles?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Well, welcome to the show, and thank you so ever so much for being my guest this evening.
Well, it's an honor to be here, and it's a privilege to represent the Texas Border Volunteers.
Okay, I'm going to turn the volume up just a little bit for the listeners and turn mine down because you're a little hard to hear, but we'll go ahead and try that. I am sorry I'm about 2 minutes late getting you on the show. I see you were listening. As is always the case, Rusi got a little heated yet again. Thank you for being on time, Charles.
It's not a problem. Is that a little bit better? Can you hear me a little better now?
Yes, that is much better. Thank you very much. Now, the lead
Right.
that I've presented to the listeners tonight is this. Do you want to know what's really happening on the border? Do you want to know the real numbers of those crossing illegally? And do you want to hear the truth, not the DHS Pitbull Napolitano version? Join Charles and I this evening. So we're going to have a lot of callers calling in or listening in, and we'll just go ahead. Now, I just wanted to clarify for the loyal Ruthie Report listeners, Charles did our special report 2 weeks ago, and we had so much to talk about, and I felt ever so bad that I had to cut it short. So this will be a great show tonight. First, Charles, do you want to tell everybody just a little bit about the Texas Border Volunteers and what it is that you do within the organization, and then we can go from there?
Well, sure. I know you've had a number of Border Volunteers on there, but we're a citizens group, kind of like a neighborhood watch, but our neighborhood is very big. It's Brooks County, Texas, which is about 70 miles north of the Rio Grande River. It's in the Rio Grande Valley sector of the Border Patrol, and we essentially post out on private ranch land. We have the permission of the landowners, and we conduct ourselves professionally. We look to observe and report movement and get those reports, latitude, longitude, direction of movement, number of bodies, and we get that information to Border Patrol just as soon as we can. And if Border Patrol sees fit, we will assist them in any way that we can in allowing Border Patrol to make the apprehension and take the folks away. I've been doing it about 2 years. I'm the vice president of administration, which means I do the newsletter. I've helped implement a couple of new programs here within the last year, kind of a marketing outreach to get our message out. We don't want to be defined by the people who are essentially, unfortunately, our enemies. We want to be able to define ourselves. And so we are actively working on getting our message out and all the things that we do, not just observe and report, but educational outreach. And, also the things that we do in the field, search and rescue and basically saving people's lives. So
now
that's
a part of this. That's a part of this. I do not think a lot of people that would take a quick look at, and I really strongly, persuasively request that listeners really check out the Texas Border Volunteers, because if you take a quick glance or you just read the title and you have this image in your head, you do not realize that they've actually saved lives by what they're doing. They've,
yes,
people
ma'am.
Left in the desert behind because they couldn't keep up, and the Texas Border Volunteers have found these people, reported it to Border Patrol, and actually saved yet from finding another corpse in the desert. I mean, it's, we are down there to stop the insanity and stop the, you're down there, I should say, to do what you can, but I would hate for people to get the wrong image that, you're not doing. But they don't know everything that you do. Does that make sense?
No, and it absolutely makes sense. And it's why we started the marketing outreach program to get, like I said, to get our message out. We are defined by our enemies as a hate group. We don't hate anybody. We love our country. We love our founding documents. And we absolutely love Border Patrol and the sacrifices that they make. They're our heroes. I've said that on more than one occasion. And so when we can go down and do what we do, and in the course of observing and reporting, when we find those lost souls that need our help, and if they didn't get our help, they would turn out. They would turn up dead. Last fiscal year, it was almost 130 that were found dead in Brooks County, and so far this year, that number, at least a month or so ago, was ahead. All of the numbers, all of the leading indicators, as far as whatever you can see, the Border Patrol numbers, news reports, that the crossings are up. If the numbers are up, and frankly, so are ours. I've got some.
Can I clarify something? Last year, you just in Brooks County, you found 130 that have expired?
Now, that was not border volunteers that found 130, but there were actually, I believe the number was 129 bodies
that were found in
2012, yes. And that exceeded the previous record, which was about 80. And this is the most interesting thing, Ruthie. Anybody that's listening to this program, regardless of what county you live in, or parish, if you happen to be in Louisiana, if there was a criminal enterprise operating within your home county that was responsible for the deaths of 129 people through the course of a year, I don't really care what county it is, people would be outraged. They would be demanding that their political leaders and their law enforcement officers do something to stem the tide of this death. And make no mistake, when the coyotes walk off and leave these people, that's homicide. They are leaving the people to die. And if you had a criminal enterprise that was killing 129 people a year in any county of the United States, except, unfortunately, South Texas, there would be a clamor for somebody to do something. And it's just sad that there's not.
Well, and you know, they're extorting their own citizens. Well, not all of them now coming across the border, of course, are Mexicans. There's the OTMs other than Mexican. But the Mexicans themselves are extorting everyone to get across the border. That's how they're getting here, is through the smugglers and, you know, human traffickers. But they do not care. This is all money to them. This is all business. They do not care that they have a female fellow Mexican that is having a problem keeping up with the trip, and they'll leave her behind, fully knowing that if she doesn't get help somewhere, like you just said, she's going to die. And they apparently do not care.
Oh,
it's business.
They absolutely don't. So far this year, coupled with last year, the OTM rate right now, especially in the Rio Grande Valley sector, that's running about 60% OTM, 40% Mexican. I just read an article today that there are a lot more women coming across. There are a lot more juveniles coming across. And again, we are seeing that in the observations that we make and report to Border Patrol. And if you'll...
Janet Napolitano, Pitbull Napolitano, wants you and I to believe that the border is more secure than it's ever been.
Right. And trust me, there is no rancher anywhere in South Texas, and there's certainly no single or any Texas border volunteer that believes that's true. So far this year, Ruthie, for 2013, now these are Texas border volunteer numbers. We've had 425 reported, and Border Patrol has apprehended about 306 of those. Now, that's about a half a year's worth of work for us. So if you compare those numbers to some previous numbers, and I know numbers are a little bit hard to understand, but last year in 2012, our numbers were 232 and 126.
And was that at the half year or the whole year?
That was the whole year. For 2011, which was a very slow year for everybody, 147 and 83. So you can see with those numbers, 425 and 306 for only half a year, our numbers are consistently trending with everything that Border Patrol is reporting and that the news is reporting. And that doesn't even count Linda and her best team, some of her dogs, her canine friends, because their numbers are, they have reported 91 with 64 Border Patrol apprehensions. That's just for 2013, and that's between watches. That's just what she's, imagine this, you're a homeowner someplace, and you've reported on your ranch right around your area where your house and your tack room is, if you had a little bit of land, you've reported 91 illegal aliens since January 1st of this year, and 64 of them have been apprehended. Can you imagine living your life like that?
I'm going to, if it's all right, I'm just going to go back through some of these numbers real quick just so that people understand, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand. For the year of 2011, for the entire year, all 12 months, the entire year, they had 147 visuals that they reported. 83 of them were caught. Good job. In 2012, write these numbers down, listeners, so that you can really see this yourself. In 2012, for the entire 12 months, the entire year, they had 232 visuals, reports of trespassers with 136 caught. This year, and now you're telling me that 90, just so I understand, Charles, the 91 is not included in the 425, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the
so,
91 is just Linda.
Okay. So, and Linda has been on the show, and if you missed that show, you'll have to look it up. Her and her best team, I just cannot wait to meet that woman personally myself. But for 2013, we are at the end of May. This is 5 months. You can say six if you want, make it a half a year, round it out, it's going to be worse, but let's just say a half a year. They have had 425 visuals, reports, with 306 caught. Look at that. 232 for the whole year of 2012, and we're already up to 425 for half the year of 2013, and Janet Napolitano can stand up there and look the American people in the face and sprue that crap that she wants us to swallow. That doesn't even include Linda and the best team, who's reported 91 reported visuals and 61 apprehended on her own. And this is 70 miles north of the border. Charles, I am just astounded.
Well, let me put that in some more perspective. Of the 425, 110 of those were spotted on one evening back in March.
Unbelievable. And the whole 110 were in one bunch?
No, they were broken up into two smaller groups of 50 and 60 apiece.
Yep, and Jim, many of the listeners are used to Jim, and Jim did share some of that with us. So, and Charles and Jim we're going to just rotate. We're going to put these guys to work on the Ruthie report, and I am so glad that they do this. But so, of this. Let's take Linda's first, because I have a lot more questions for your 425. But for Linda's first, there was a new article out that I just saw giving something like those numbers, and I didn't write them down, and I don't have it in front of me. But are you telling me that this is just on her land only, that Linda and her dogs, without the TVV helping, Linda herself has reported 91 sightings so far this year?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct. That's what she lives with day in and day out. And I will tell you, we've got pictures of some of these people, and these are not people that are miles away from her house. We've got pictures of these people standing with baseball-size rocks in their hands, standing in her driveway.
Now, you know, I guess before we go further, I would like everybody that's listening that does not live 70 miles or closer to the southern border to imagine your backyard, to imagine wherever you live, look out your window, and on your property within 5 month period, you have personally yourself spotted 91 illegal aliens crossing your land. I cannot imagine living like this.
This is how you adapt. She goes virtually everywhere with her dogs. She carries, I mean, how many people have, other than 911, how many people have any kind of law enforcement on speed dial? She can call, she's got Border Patrol on speed dial, and she carries a weapon with her. She has to.
You know, and it just, it really angers me that the Texas Border Volunteers are, and again, many kudos to you guys, a personal thank you for what you guys are doing down there, really. But what just drives me totally mad is that no matter how I try or others try or you try to get the awareness out there, you've been in a lot of articles lately, you've been getting a lot more press. We have Linda catching 91 with her best team, and none of this is brought up in the discussions of this treasonous amnesty bill. Nobody is talking about what the American citizen on the border or up to 70 miles from the border are having to deal with day in and day out.
Well, no, they're not. And I believe it's because they simply don't know. I mean, you had Dennis Lynch on your show a couple of weeks ago, and he put out about a 4.5 minute clip from his film, They Come to America Too. He put out a 4.5 minute clip that included Peter King, congressman from New York, former chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, and he set Mr. King up perfectly. He said if you had three truckloads, one of Mexicans, one of Middle Eastern terrorists, and one of Chinese, which one would you, and you could only stop one truck, which one would it be? And Congressman King said, well, it's the Chinese. And you can go on YouTube and see the clip. I don't want to go through the whole thing. But when Dennis Lynch said, well, what do you think the president understands the Chinese that are coming across the border? And Peter King says, well, I don't know if he does, but I got to tell you, I just don't think it's that big a deal. And Dennis Lynch showed him a picture of the rescue beacon that's not 3 miles from our headquarters. It's a distress beacon, and it's written, the instructions on how to get Border Patrol to come to that position are written in English, Spanish, and Mandarin Chinese. And the former committee chairman of Homeland Security was not aware that that's what our government was doing. Now, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to share with everybody that it says, push if you need help, push button, do not leave. That's what it says. It's this emergency beacon. What he's talking about is it's actually a sign, and it has a button on it. For any of you that have not seen this, it has a button on there, and it's an aid for those that are struggling. As we were just talking at the beginning of the interview here with Charles, for those that were left behind, those that are dehydrated, those that are just getting close to death, those that are struggling to make it, if they are not able to flee into the landscape of America illegally, breaking the law, thank you very much, if they really seriously need help, there is this beacon where they can go and push the button. Jim had originally sent this out from the Texas Board of Volunteers, and I posted it everywhere. It says, if you need help, push button, do not leave, in English. Below it, if you need help, push button, do not leave, in Spanish, and they went and added Chinese to this. This government seriously wants you, Charles, and I, and the rest of the nation to believe that we do not have a problem with illegal immigration when we're adding a third language to warning, to assistance signs.
Let me give you something, and your listeners, something that's even more chilling than that. And at our last watch, which was concluded last weekend, in the course of that watch, we found we had two interesting discoveries. Now, I personally found a portion of a Chinese passport. That in and of itself just essentially reaffirms, because we've actually caught Chinese before, and I'm relatively certain with photographs that we've got, and those photographs are on our Facebook page and our website.
And don't let me forget to have you give them to everybody too. Don't let me let you go without that.
Okay. Absolutely. So we know that we've caught Chinese because we've seen them. We know that they're leaving remnants behind because we find them. One of the most disturbing finds of this last watch was wrapped in a McDonald's bag was an Urdu to English translation phrase book. Now, if your listeners are not aware, Urdu is the national language of Pakistan. And Pakistan is on the eastern border of Afghanistan, and there is a huge contingent of Taliban and Al-Qaeda in those badlands bordering that kind of no man's land between Pakistan and Afghanistan. So, as a matter of fact, I believe it was earlier this week, there was a drone strike that rendered one of the Taliban bad guys to room temperature. So,
As I understand, they're now calling off the peace talks or whatever kind of talks, nonsense talks, if you ask me. But they're calling off the talks because one of their top guys was killed by a drone. Yeah. Yeah, that was just put out.
Yeah, we're broke up about that. But this phrase book was turned over to some higher ranking government officials. There are a number of people that are finding this quite disconcerting, and it's not just border volunteers.
Now, can I ask, and if I ask you anything, Charles, that you would rather not, address, just give me a little fluff, I'll pick up on it. Because, if I ask, it's that nature in me. Can I ask, when you personally found the Chinese, half of a Chinese passport, that very second when you found that, can you share with us what was the first thing you thought of in your head?
Here we go again. It's unfortunately myself and virtually everybody else that works for Border Volunteers, we've found this stuff or we've seen it. It was just, now I will say that the Urdu phrase book was, I didn't find that one. One of our other members did, but seeing that was pretty bad. But when I saw the Chinese, you know, whenever I looked at the characters on it, it's just, well, I guess we'll turn this in and see if anybody else pays attention. It's and I've said this to a number of other people. One of the complaints post 9/11 was that our government, all of the different agencies, nobody connected the dots. You remember that phrase? Nobody connected the dots. We're just, well, you know, the problem that I'm having is there's a dadgum many dots out there right now. It's impossible to not connect them, and it's not that nobody's connecting them. It's that nobody cares to. Nobody's paying attention. I mean, there was an article in the San Antonio newspaper just a few days ago about a high-ranking, or I don't know if they were high-ranking, about an individual that had ties to Hezbollah that was trying to get Department of Defense clearance. I mean, there are so many, you know, and that's, again, I'll transition back to the first of the discussion. We're trying to get a message out. Our message is not hate, it's love of country. Our message is not about being racism. It's not about racism. It's about terrorism. It's about what conceivably could really possibly happen. And when you see things like Hezbollah is laundering money and they're trying to get people with DOD clearance, and we're finding people and documentation and evidence that there are people coming to this country. These are not people that want to just come here and hang sheetrock and make beds in hotels. These are people who are going at some point to do great harm to this country. And
now I did see that on the DOD. When was that? Today, last night, or this morning? I can't remember when I saw it, but I did not have the opportunity to actually check it out before I put it on air, and I didn't want to do that without doing my research or, you know, knowing what in the hell I was talking about. So I didn't put that out there, but I am very grateful that you brought that up. When you were talking about Dennis Lynch's talking to Peter King, I think one of the things that just froze me in my spot is for Peter King to look across the table, and I'm probably going to remember this forever now, to look across the table and look into Dennis Lynch's eyes and say that we know Hezbollah has teamed up with the Mexican cartels. And as he's saying that, the first thing that pops in my head is, and the border remains unsecured. I don't understand what they're doing. And, you know, and now you have Pakistani material, you have Chinese material, and still no one is paying attention.
No, they're not. And it just, a lot of us are just absolutely dumbfounded because the information is there. I mean, the San Antonio Express News is not some right-wing blog, and there are news stations in the Rio Grande Valley that are churning out story after story on a weekly basis. And it has to do with the terrorist element. It has to do with how some elements of terror organizations are teaming with the drug trafficking organizations, the DTOs, the narco-terror organizations, the cartels, you know, the enemy of my friend, or well, I forget that saying, but essentially it's about money to the cartels, and it's about the likelihood of inflicting pain and great harm to American citizens to those terrorist organizations. Those two are teaming up. They don't There's no love lost between them. They're not, they don't sympathize with each other's cause. They've just found kind of a symbiotic relationship between the two, and it is a horrible concoction, and it's not going to work out. And when you couple all of that with, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to, get back to your numbers real quick so we can keep on this. So I kind of just wanted to end with Linda's there. A personal comment, if you could share with Linda. I also read that she got a 6-foot rattler.
It was every bit of 6 foot tall, and it was fat too.
You know those boots that you guys are talking about when people, you know, those that have jumped through the hoops, that understand the rules and want to be a part of the TBV, you can do that if you follow the rules. My spouse and I have. I'm honored to be associated with this organization. However, those boots that you were talking about when you come down, I want the
yes.
boots that go up to the neck.
Well, they'll likely be a little bit warm, but I'm sure we can...
I don't care. I don't care if it's 115. I do not want to get bit by a snake.
Well, and that's only, you know, that's one of the dangers, and that's why I'm proud of the people that I work with. You know, we go out, when we post out, we do this at cost to ourselves, gas and time, but we kind of put ourselves in a little bit of peril. We're risking a lot more than just sitting on the couch and risking high blood pressure.
I worry about you guys all of the time, and I'm not talking snakes. I'm talking about you being down there doing the job that this government will not do. And I do worry about you guys, really. So let's move back to your numbers. But remember, Charles, when I come down there and get my hug from you, I want the boots that go up to the neck, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'll start working on that right away.
I can't wait to see what you guys concoct on that one. Okay, so we have Linda's numbers for this year, for half a year, of 91 reported, 64 apprehended. But we have... for the Texas Border Volunteers, for this year, for half a year, you have reported 425 trespassers or illegal aliens or sightings, however you would like to, you know, listeners would like to think of it, and 306 of those have been caught. So as we're sitting here and we're talking.
Sure.
As we're sitting here and we're talking, that's approximately 19. Oh, no, wait. I'm way off on my numbers here. I was going to say 20. That's 119. Right? 19 that have gotten away.
Yes, that's correct. In other words, the ratio that we've got of Border Patrol apprehending people is a pretty good ratio. Let me give just a little bit more, expand on those numbers. Those
okay.
numbers, that 452 and 306, I don't have them in front of me, but anyway, the numbers that you've been reciting, that is for roughly 20 to 21 nights worth of work. That's
okay,
that's
and 20 I said 425. Was I supposed to say 452? I said 425, what you originally said.
No. That's let me pull the paper out. But it's 425 and 306. Those
okay.
numbers, that's not 6 months worth of time period. That's 20 some odd watches. That's 20 days worth of work.
Oh, my God.
That's not even a month's worth of time. That's the thing that we want people to understand. You know, we're not able to go down there. We're not down there every weekend. You know, we're down there once every month, once every other month. You know, we have about 10 watches a year. We post out probably no more than about 40 or 45 days in a year. Those numbers are for 20 some, I believe the number is 20 or 21 days. I don't know. I know Linda gave me the number.
Let's just say 20 days, you know, 20, 21. Let's just say 20 days. So in 20 days, you have one organization 70 miles north of the border in Brooks County has had a visual of 425 illegal aliens. And this is what is the mile? I forget how big of a square acre or mileage is this?
We are on Brooks County is about, I think it's about 900 square miles. It's one of the most rural counties in Texas. We're 70 miles north of the Rio Grande, and we basically operate on about 20 or 30 square miles of property. That's it. We can't, and that's our area of operations. When we post out at night, you know, depending, even if we've got 10 or 15 groups out there, we don't have eyes on any more than probably 6 or 8 square miles, if that. I mean, this is a very... It's not a large operation, and it's not a lot of people, and it's just absolutely, when you look at those numbers, and if you were to work it out, you know, and these are people that we are reporting that had we not reported them, they probably, at least a large majority of them, would have skated by.
Yep.
What happens when
you know,
we leave?
If you figure that out, which I did, I'm a math person too, but that comes out to 21. If you've gone out on 20 days, so far for six, you know, for the half of the time here, for 20 days, that's 21 a day. If you would take times half the year, not the whole year, just half the year, that'd be 3,822 that are coming over in just that county in 6 months. That is insane.
It is. And what happens when we leave? We show up on a Wednesday or a Thursday, we stay a long weekend and we're gone. What happens when we leave? How many people are continuing to come through? That's the scary part. That's why when we hear Janet Napolitano or anybody say, you know, the border is as secure as it's ever been, you know, it's a lie on a number of different levels. Number one, the first level is it's just not true. And number two, the matrix that she is using to determine whether or not the border is secure was proven to be the least efficient and accurate measurement of border security. She's using apprehensions and apprehensions alone to determine whether or not the border is secure. When President Bush was president, they had a formulation that their matrix was, could you detect movement across the border, and could you respond to it? And when they said they had 20 or 30% of the border or 40% of the border secure, that's what they meant. Over across the entire 2,000 and some odd mile border, not only could they detect movement across it, but they could respond to it. Well, they just, when this administration came in, that's a very comprehensive matrix. That's a good way to measure. This administration just threw that out and said, no, you know what? We want to measure apprehensions. Well, the Department of Homeland Security did a study, paid for a study that said, using apprehensions to measure the effectiveness of border security is the least accurate way.
Of course. Of course. And I don't know if you were listening before when I was talking about the overstayed visas, and that we have 266 people that have overstayed their visas that the Department of Homeland Security cannot find that pose a threat to national security. But it goes on that she hasn't even reported the overstayed visas to Congress yet, and that is a law. And now her response back to them is that she will respond in December of 2013. You know, for the life of me, Charles, why this woman is still in that position is beyond me. If I was president, I would have cleaned house a long time ago. The next one that says anything as stupid as is our border is more secure than ever would probably be doing some kind of a community service on top of losing her job, but that's neither here nor there. Now, can I ask you a question that you do not have to answer? I will answer, but you do not have to. Seeing that you are sharing with the listeners the staggering amounts of what's happening in your county, what the TVV is seeing, the Texas Border Volunteers, that you've had for a half a year, 425 visuals, almost double for what you had all of last year. Now you find a Pakistani information and a Chinese information. The next attack, unfortunately, not if, but when, the next attack that we have on our soil from a foreigner who wants to kill us, who do you think should be held responsible for this?
Well,
it's this administration, it's Congress, it's the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security. They are doing everything in their power to allow that border to be unsecured. And as we are sitting here, you and I, Charles, discussing the dangers, Hezbollah partnering with the drug cartels, and they are violent. The Knights Templar are burning down businesses down there. We have all of this going on, and we have Congress, the gangsters of eight, selling out the American people, Obama looking at nothing but votes, Janet Napolitano, who shouldn't be a dog catcher, and the most corrupt Department of Justice that I've ever heard of in my life, pandering to allow that border to remain open and welcome 30 to 40 more illegal aliens, which is going to make your job on the border, what the Texas Border Volunteers do, twice as dangerous.
It makes everybody, it puts everybody in America in jeopardy. Here's what I see happening. The bad guys, the bad actors, are going to continue to exploit the visa issue, overstaying visas and abusing that privilege. They're going to continue to do that until that ability is taken away, hopefully soon. But here's the deal. There are already people on no-fly lists and people that have been flagged by intelligence agencies that can't get visas. So if they want to come to this country and do us harm, they are going to come through the southern border. And yep. When you couple all of that with we see story after story. I think the last one I read not too long ago was about a drug-resistant strain of tuberculosis. There are diseases that have been eradicated in this country that haven't been eradicated in some of these third and fourth world countries to our south and to either direction, to our east and west. And those diseases are moving up. I mean, this is why you have legal immigration, because there are simply people that we don't want to be here for a number of different reasons. And to not have our southern border as secure as possible is inviting just chaos. It's
inviting
going to turn out bad.
You know, and even those, you know, it's inviting so many different things. On the disease, for any listeners that would like to get more information on that. There is a woman, she is no longer with us, she is deceased. Her name is Madeline Cosman. She did tons of work on what is coming in here, diseases that have been gone for decades, you know, actually stricken away, that are having a refuge in this country because our borders are, you know, we're not screening who's coming in the country. But her name is Madeline Cosman, if you wanted to look that up. The diseases one, you know, the illegal aliens themselves, because it's just, it's lawlessness, and they know it. And it, amnesty abets another amnesty, abets another, and just continues to increase illegal immigration by rewarding their behavior. Of course, then you throw in things such as the terrorists, the cartels, the sexual offenders. I mean, it's just, the list is never ending, Charles. And
it's,
we still cannot get anybody to secure that border.
No, and that's, you know, the interesting thing, I don't know if it's interesting or not, probably sad. Like I said, there is information that's coming out from credible sources, from news organizations. And we hear it all the time. We see it. I'm going to take this opportunity to plug our Facebook page.
Yes.
Texas Border Volunteers has been on Facebook now for a year and a half, probably. I forget. But we are a comprehensive clearinghouse for a number of different sources that we trust. And if you go to our Facebook, just Texas Border Volunteers, you'll see the logo with the round star, and that is an excellent Facebook page for your listeners to get. We're posting news stories on a daily basis, two or three a day, sometimes more, and the news is out there. And we're not posting right wing blog tinfoil hat stuff. This is from reputable news agencies, and people simply I don't know, Ruthie. They don't want to pay attention. They don't want to listen, or they've already constructed some kind of narrative in their mind that if they come out against illegal immigration, then somehow they're going to be labeled something.
They're gonna be called a name. Oh my God, this is fifth grade material. Do you know how many they call me names? You should hear some of the things they've called me. I actually looked it up once. I researched myself, and they were pounding me in Spanish. They were pounding me in Chinese. They don't like me, Charles. Probably, maybe you want to rethink being on the show, huh? Don't say
well,
no.
I think if you're getting that kind of reaction, you must be doing something right. Because really, the only label that any of us want is just call us a patriot and thank you very much.
Exactly. So I tell you what, I have about 3 minutes left here, and I do not want to cut it short. So what I would like to do is. The Facebook page, can you please give the Facebook page again and any other information you would like to give, and then we can just finish up in a few seconds here.
Sure. Our website is texasbordervolunteers.org. I believe there's a //WordPress. That website has got all the information that you would need if you're interested in joining. We publish our newsletter, and there's a donate button, because Texas Border Volunteers is 100% member supported. We buy our own gas. We buy our own night vision equipment. That equipment is used to keep us safe. We can hide, and we can see them long before they see us. It is instrumental in us being able to operate and perform our mission. So if you've got listeners out there that would like to, that have a little bit of extra money, provided the government hasn't taken it all, we could certainly use some donations. So our Facebook page will link to our web page and vice versa. And if you, again, if you want a comprehensive clearinghouse of great information that relates to illegal immigration, then feel free to check out either one of those. Like us, become a member, and of course, your webpage has got great stuff too. So,
well, and if you cannot find them, please feel free to get a hold of me at my webpage or on Facebook, and I will definitely and gladly hook you up with the Texas Border Volunteers. Any donation is not, and I do not, I never tell people where to donate. I give you the ideas of where I think the best place would be, and the Texas Border Volunteers is definitely it. Any amount of donation is not too small, correct?
Absolutely not. Anything that you can help us out with, and that's the most important thing. None of us are superheroes. We are regular folks. I do commercial air conditioning for a living. We have ex-military. Trust, if you see a picture, if you see a group photo, if we weren't in camouflage, which we use to hide ourselves, not to portray ourselves as any kind of militia, if you saw us in a group photo, we are one of the most benign groups of people that you would ever want to meet. So it doesn't you don't have to be a superhero to be a member.
I've seen the photos. Charles, it has been great to have you on the show. Will you come on again?
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to.
I thank you so much. Please tell Jim and Linda a personal hello from me, and all of you guys be very, very safe, okay?
Yes, ma'am. We look forward to seeing you down at the ranch, Ruthie.
Okay, now remember the boots for the snake thing up to the neck, right?
Yes, ma'am. We'll even get you a face guard. We promise. You'll be safe.
Oh, my God, it's that bad? Thank you very much, Charles. It's been an honor to have you
ma'am.
On the show. All right, everyone, please, thank you very much to the Texas Border Volunteers doing the job that our government will not do. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a safe weekend. We will see you here next Thursday, and good night.